going to get into the Word of God. How many of you have the prayer life that you desire to have? Uh-oh. Pastor's on his birthday. He's going to be pastor. This is not good, is it? How many of you really, when you get up in the morning, you have the spirit or the mindset that your heart is panting after the water brook of God, a longing and a desire to be closer to God? Genesis chapter number 28. It just amazes me how God does things. Just absolutely amazes me. I should have just told him to go ahead and preach, because he covered about 60% of my message in his testimony. Literally, exact same things that I'm going to be preaching about, literally. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran in verse number 10. And he lighted up on a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. Anybody feel like you've been laying in a bed of stones sometimes? It says, and reached to heaven. I'm sorry, I didn't miss it. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep. He said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. I want to preach just for a little while on this topic. Teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you one more time, God, for this wonderful group of believers that are gathered here today, God, to delve into something that would possibly, God, just cause their mind to reflect for a few moments on you, to drive them a little bit closer in their walk with you, God, that they may know you a little deeper today when we are finished today than when they've ever known you before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Prayer is something that took place even clear back in the beginning. The Bible said God talked with Adam and Eve even in the garden. A communication between the creation and the Creator. Prayer is something that we often, we talk about, we think about, we intend to do. We passionately say it's important. We say it's a part of a revival church. We have good intentions. We oftentimes sit in a pew, and I've sat in the pew just like many of you, and you look at the altar and you say, you know what, I remember that day that I was going through this or I was going through that, and right there was where I prayed. Right there was where I went, and me and God had a good old-fashioned discussion, where we got down to a heart-to-heart and a deep moment in the presence of God, and I was changed right there at that place. Many of us have experienced those things in our lives, and we know what it is to talk about an altar. We know what it is to talk about prayer. But unfortunately, in today's generation, I think we talk about it much more than we do it. We don't take the time. It's not that we don't have the time. It's just all of our time is allotted into other things. And even when we schedule time in for God, it seems that there's misplaces and something always. And God seems to be the one left out of the schedule every single time. I think even sometimes we have good intentions and we say, on my way to work, I'll turn the radio down and I'll spend a little time with God. And pretty soon your phone's ringing and the text messages are blowing up. And you get to work and you think, well, you know what? Maybe at lunchtime, I'll carve a few minutes out at lunch. And maybe I'll go out to the car and kind of get by myself. And pretty soon you find that you had to work through lunch. And you get home and you have everything going on. And you think, well, maybe once the kids go to bed, I'll sit in the recliner and I'll spend a few minutes with God and read my Bible. And pretty soon you find yourself drifting off to sleep. And another day goes by and another day goes by and another day goes by. And we come back to church and we preach about prayer. We talk about prayer. We walk by the prayer book. We walk into a church with an altar specially designed for saints of God to kneel their knees and spend some time in prayer with God. But my question for us today is, do we really have a prayer life with God? Do we really take time to have a communication with the one that created this entire world, that knows the blueprint to your life, knows your goings in and your comings out, knows your failures, knows your weaknesses, and also knows the solution to every single problem you have? But how often do we just go through life muddling our way and never take time to talk to the one that really matters? Prayer is something that we find all through Scripture, a building of altars. We find it in the Old Testament where the Bible talks about an altar that was a place of refuge. We find where when there was situations within the Old Testament, in fact, you'll find several times where you would find them clinging to the horns of the altar, begging God for mercy. You would find them time and time again going back to that place. But we find here in this particular passage of Scripture, and now that you kind of have seen what I was preaching from, you'll understand why. It was a direct confirmation from God that I was exactly where I needed to be today. We find Jacob in a place that he has now gone out. He is running from his brother, if you will. He knows he can't stay there. He knows it's a time in his life where he's gonna have to go and find a wife. His dad kind of looked over the glasses, if you will, and said, "Boy, you ain't taking a wife from Canaan." And he looks at him and says, you are to go to Laban's house and there you'll find someone. And they had that father-son moment. And at this point, Jacob really didn't have a lot of things. Jacob really didn't have much to offer per se. But Jacob was now going out to find what he was supposed to have. He had the blessing, but yet he didn't know the blesser. He had the stuff, but he really didn't have the goods. He knew what was expected, but he didn't know how to get what was expected back to where it belonged. And that was the place of his fathers. There's a particular place that every single one of us, and there's a lot of young people here, and I try to still count myself as a young person, but Brother Humphrey, every day I keep seeing more of those gray hairs. And it hurts now when I get up out of bed and I got to stretch a little more. And I decide to go for a walk and all of a sudden those legs don't allow me to do what I wanted to do. Even as I was up here today as they were leading worship and I started to do one of those, I noticed that knee taking a double take on the way up. That's not supposed to be. But every one of us as young people here, there comes a point in your life that even if you're raised in church, and when this generation, I'm even parsed to even say that because we have so many people that didn't grow up on a church pew. They don't know what it is to go to church. They don't know what it is to hear the stories in Sunday school. Like, I don't know how many they're in there, but I pray for those Sunday school teachers today. That little room and there's a lot of kids in there. But this generation didn't grow up that way. But even if we did, there comes a point in time that you get to that place in life where God has a way of teaching us to pray. Unintended consequences to a life lived just out of purely just trying to muddle through life. And there comes a point in every single one of our lives that either we learn how to pray on our own or life will bring us to our knees unintentionally. We don't know when the day comes. We don't know when the moment happens. But every single one of us, and I see a whole lot of heads nodding in this place today saying, I've been there. I've knelt at that altar. And it may have been in my car. It may have been outside because I was homeless. It may have been in a jail cell. It may have been in a marriage court. It may have been in a lot of places. But I've been there. And I know what it is to hit rock bottom and recognize, this ain't working anymore. I've got to somehow make communication with something outside of myself. And you know what that is? That's a God. That's a God that loves you. That's a God that cares about your soul. That's a God that knows you and knew you before you knew him. Jacob's having this moment. Jacob's laying there on a rock, headed out for a journey, not even realizing quite the journey he's going to take before this is all over. Years of work just to accomplish the bride that he really wants. Being deceived himself. Being provoked, if you will. But yet all through the same process, it appears in Scripture that because of this particular moment, that there is a particular blessing upon Jacob's life. There, because of this moment and this encounter with God, there is something that says, I've got my handprint on you. And even though you don't understand it, even though you seem like you're being mistreated, even though it doesn't seem actually right, just know I have the ability to make your sheep multiply and theirs stay the same. I have the ability to make your life prosper, even in the midst of the world that you're living in. Many of us sometimes don't recognize that handprint until we finally get to the point that we are beside ourselves. Many of us go through life and we just muddle well along trying to make our own way, make our own path, do what we know we need to do and try to just make the best of life. But there comes that moment when it all slows down. And you're sitting there and you're wondering, that God that I've heard about, that God that mom and dad talked about, that God that I heard about in Sunday school, that God, I really don't know him. I really don't have that relationship with him. I know I talk about, I look right, everything looks okay on the outside, but I even question if some people that go to church every single Sunday have these moments. Do I really have the heartbeat of God? Do I really know beyond any shadow of a doubt that I'm in his will? It's one thing to know there is a God. There's another thing to know God. One means you know he's out there. Another thing means you know exactly where he's at and he knows where you're at. The difference is he already knows where we're at. We get this imaginary picture in our mind as people. And I think we find this all through the Old Testament, in Jacob in particularly. We get this little picture in our mind that we're hiding from God. That we're in our own little world over here and God doesn't know what we're doing. You know, that works with mom and dad, young people. That don't work with God. God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows when we're right. He knows when we're wrong. That's why when we walk into the presence of God, we walk into a service like this, and if you haven't felt it, you probably will for the service is over. You feel that same kind of feeling going up and down your spine that says, I just feel undone. It just doesn't feel comfortable. You know what that is? That's being in the presence of a pure and a holy God. And in our flesh, in our sin nature, we will never feel that peace with God until we go down in a watery grave of baptism and we bury our old man. again, and we're birthed anew in the raising, just like a death, the burial, and the resurrection. But we come back up clean, and we come up pure, and then we can stand before God, and we can worship Him with arms lifted instead of head bowed. We can stand before God and say, I shouldn't be here, but I am because of Your mercy. I shouldn't know You, but I do, because You found me in a lost state, and You saved me, and You purified my soul. The beauty of that is we take on a new identity. I found in studying this, and we've known this probably from Sunday school, some of you Bible scholars, but we find where Jacob takes his tour, if you will, through the family tree, and finally gets back with all of his wives unexpectedly. If you know the story, he comes back not only with Rachel, but also everybody else, and all the kids, and all the sheep, and all the stuff that's going along. And he finally comes back, and he knows he's coming back into a place that could be a little friction. It could be a little tough. Navigating this trek is very dangerous. I could lose everything I've got. And what he does is he pits himself, and he sets certain ones up front, and he puts others in the back, kind of protected, the ones that are really important. And oftentimes, do we not do the same thing with our lives? We have those zones we don't want to make vulnerable. We have those zones that it's off limits for people. But here's the thing, we also make it off limits to God. The danger in that is for God to heal those things, He needs to touch them. And as long as we keep them in our secret little closet, and we hold on to our crutches of life and our little world that we've learned to navigate in, and we hold that because we know we're comfortable in that world. And as long as we hold those things, we find that we really aren't really being honest with God. You ever had a child in the home that they come into the room and you ask them a question? What they're telling you ain't a lie. But you also know it ain't the whole truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth. There's a bit of a hidden agenda here. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know exactly what's going on, but it ain't the whole truth. And after some very strategically placed questions, and you box them in, and they now realize you know what they know. They finally get that look in their eye and they calculate. If I lie, can I really get away with it? Or is it better just to tell the truth and take what's coming? And every one of us have been there. Every one of us knows what that pitting feeling is in our stomach that says, I know what's coming. Here's the difference. We never grow out of that. We become adults. We do the same thing with God that we did with our natural father. But here's the difference. We're standing in front of a God that already knows. But here's the other difference. He's already forgiven. We're standing before God as if we've got this deep secret that God can't touch. And God's standing there saying, if you would just recognize who I am, I'm not the God with the hammer. I'm the God with the cross. I'm the one with the blood dripping off of my fingers and the spear in my side, saying, if you would just come into my presence and just be honest, I can fix every single problem you have. I have the key to everything going on in your world at this moment. But as long as you keep it in the untouched box, it will never be healed. The thing that I noticed in this particular passage of scripture is as Jacob finally comes back and he's going through this process and everything is happening, there came another point in time that God actually spoke to Jacob again. And he told Jacob, he said, I want you to go back to Bethel. Tells me he was in the vicinity, but he wasn't where God told him to be. He said, I want you to go back to Bethel. And when you get there, I want to have that same communication that I had with you before. This one was the exact same kind, but it was different. We find this time Jacob knew he was going into the presence of God. One time God surprised him and said, I'm here. Even though you don't know it, I'm here. There's another time that Jacob went with intention. Jacob wasn't showing up to church, no pun intended. I know this is a terrible illustration today. He wasn't coming because we were having a spaghetti dinner. And just got surprised and got blessed by God. But he came on purpose. There's a difference when you put your socks and shoes on. You button up your shirt. You pick up your Bible. And you look at your wife and you say, honey, I'm going to church today. Everybody in the room knows something's different. Today it's not something to do. But today I'm going in on purpose. You see, when you come back to God with that type of vulnerability, we find where God meets with Jacob. But this is where then God says, now Jacob, you were supplanter. You were the deceiver, Jacob. But now I'm going to change your name from deceiver and supplanter to Israel. Now something is going to be different about you, Jacob. I'm going to put a new label on your life. You know what? Many of us came in encounter with God sometime in our life. But then there's this moment. Now there's a different place. It's a different set of rules. And some of you may be in that first moment. But I truly believe as a pastor, some of you walked in here today with intention. You walked in here today with a thought in your mind that said, I've come around the fringes. I've been around God. I've come in contact with God. But now I'm going in purpose. I'm going on purpose to meet with God. Me and God need to talk about this. And we find the same promise God gave Jacob in the first was the same promise God gave Jacob in the last. And his handprint was on him the whole time. And we think God doesn't know our address. And we think God doesn't know we exist. And we think God has forgotten about us. And we think we outsmarted and we hid good enough. And the whole time God is saying, when they come to the moment that I can speak to them again and I can call them back into my presence, I will be there and I'll confirm what I put on their life the first time. And not only that, I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to give them a new identity. I'm going to change their world because I'm God. And I can do that. Many of us in our lives, our prayer life is shallow. Our prayer life is few and far between, and we don't even hit every meal. If we're dependent on our communication with God on bless this food and closing a prayer out at the end of service with Pastor, we've missed the whole point of what God really wanted to do in your life. You see, it's moments like these that God gives us to take our life, hit the pause button. Many of you sitting here today, God has hit that pause button in your life just to tell you, I haven't forgotten that moment we had some years ago. You haven't drifted off of my radar. And though you've tried to hide, I've been blessing you when you didn't even know it. Many of us go through our lives and we think God's blessed us with children and cars and homes and good families and all of these things. We think it's because we're a good parent or we work hard. The reality is, it's that handprint of God that's still there. My question for us today is, why do we push God to the point that we leave God out of the picture until finally life has broken us? Till life has sucked all the wind out of our sails before we ever acknowledge there's a God. How different would it be? And the pastor's been preaching on teaching on Wednesday nights about being a Christian Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, not just Sunday. Having a prayer life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, not just Sunday. Not yelling at the school for taking away prayer when we didn't spend time with prayer with our kids. Not yelling at the school because they don't like the kids to carry a Bible into class. When you got to go to the car and get it off of the, stuck to the dashboard. Because it just rides to church with you. Stays on the dash. My question for us, are we a Christian every day of the week? And I know we take that Christian term very loosely in today's society. But being a Christian is being Christ-like. Christ had a passion for you. He loved you more than anything. To think the fact that he knew you were a sinner and yet would go to the cross. Still said, I will shed my blood so that I could have a communication with them again. And if we have the same heart, we have that same passion, wouldn't it make sense that our heart would passionately be to have a communication with him? But we go to church every single Sunday. We hit what Wednesdays we can. And we hope that's enough. While we bypass so many blessings that God could have given us along the way that we didn't take the time to accept because he was trying to offer, but we wouldn't talk to him. Here's the difference. When was the last time you really spent meaningful time praying in your house? Pastor shouldn't preach like this on a special day, should he? When was the last time you really stopped in your living room? Nobody else was around. Tears begin to stream down your face like they do on Sunday. And you just look up and say, God, I sure wish you'd still be in our home. I just wish you would keep your hand on my kids, my husband, my wife. When was the last time you walked into your kids' room? Laid your hand on a bed. Prayed for those kids. Here's today's generation. We've relegated all of that to pastor. But that wasn't God's intention. God's intention is that we would have our own altar. We would have a place that we would go to God. We would spend time with God and we would know God. When was the last time you had a place in your home that was your prayer closet? Many of us hear grandma talk about a prayer closet, but where is your prayer closet? Where is the place that you go and meet with God on a consistent basis? I know in the financial peace class, and I'm coming to a close, you start talking about saving money and you start putting everything on paper and making out a budget. All of a sudden you realize how much money gets wasted. same thing happens with our lives, with our walk with God. When you really stop down and put hours and minutes to it, you start realizing, I don't even know if I know Him. I don't even know if He knows who I am. I go to church. Did God call us to go to church? Or did He call us to be a house of prayer? You see, for our lives to be transformed, for our spirits to be really in tune with God the way He intended them to be, our prayers must be intentional. When the stress of life is getting too much, do we wait till we lose our temper? Or do we see it coming and say, God, I need You to help me? Do we wait until the marriage is in a knockout, drag-out fight? Or do we stop and grab somebody's hand and say, let's pray about this? Do we wait until those kids have completely vacated the premises and you don't even know where they're at that night? Then you go to their room. Here's the difference. It might have been different if you would have went to their room some nights before. Pastor, come just to bring everything a little bit closer to home to us today, to remind us that if we're going to call ourselves an apostolic church, we better be apostolic. If we claim to be Christians, we better be like Christ. If we claim to put a sign out there that says you can have a new beginning here, we better not forget how we got our new beginning. That was an old-fashioned altar. That was a place where we stood before God and knelt before God in His presence. You see, what is the prayer posture as we know it scripturally, if you will? We see it as a kneeling. We view it in some of its tradition and some of it is actual doctrine. But when someone kneels before, you know what you're doing. You're showing obeisance. You're showing reverence. You're showing subjectivity too. And when you fall before God and you allow God the openness in your life, what you're doing is allowing God to come down and take those impurities and purge that old man from what he was. David said, create a clean heart in me, O God. Renew in me a right spirit. David was a man after God's own heart. But even he at times would get carnal when he got too far from hearing the voice of the prophet. Let's all stand. I'm coming to a close. Came to admonish us today. Don't wait for life to bring you to an altar. Don't wait for the giant crash. Because here's the difference. It may be too late. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I know it's not popular preaching, but last time I checked, this wasn't a popularity contest for God. This was a love that's deep and pure and true. And what parent that knows their child is heading in the wrong direction wouldn't reach down their hand with pure and true love and say, you know what? I'm going to do my best to reach that child before it's too late. And God is doing just that today. God has reached down his hand to you today, and he is extending it forth one more time. This says you may have had an encounter with me. You may have had a moment with me, but today is a different day. If you will come with intention, if you will come with purpose, I will meet you there, and I will put a new name in your life. I will change your identity. You may have been known as the person that did this, the person that did that, the person that didn't get it right, the person with all the failures, but I'll change your name to Israel. I'll change your name. I will put my name on your name, and no longer will you be known as you, but when the people sees you, they're going to see me. They're going to see my grace. They're going to see a bloodstained life that stands pure and whole and upright now today. Here today, if you would grab, if it's appropriate, grab your neighbor's hand here today. If it's appropriate, families with families, folks with folks. We're going to pray together here. This is a moment that to be vulnerable before God. If you're a family here today, will you allow God in those secret parts? Will you allow God into that area that you hide from your spouse, you hide from friends, you hide from people around you, and you hold it all in? But right now, God is saying, if you will let me see those parts of your life, I'll fix them. Solve those problems. Can we pray right now all across this place in the name of Jesus right now? I pray for every family, every home that's represented here right now in the name of Jesus. Let your spirit begin to purge some things from our lives. Let your spirit renew a right mind in us. Let us see clearly. Let us think clearly. Let us passionately, God, one more time come into your presence. Not on accident, God, but I'm standing here vulnerable before you, God, asking you one more time. I'm hearing the same tongues. I'm hearing the same voice. I recognize this territory. Could this be Bethel, God? Could this be the place that you've called me back to time and time again so that I could be pure before you? In the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking you to take their imperfections. I wonder if you could just pray, God, forgive me from anything in my life. Come on, let's just do it all across this place. Let's just, God, purge me of me. Purge my mind of the things, God, that maybe aren't like you. God, purge me of some attitudes. Purge me of some thoughts. Purge me of some fears. Purge me of some doubts, God. Purge me, God, of those things that are not like you. Bring them to the forefront of my mind right now, God. Allow me to know you in a deeper way, God. I'm standing humbly before you, God. Place of repentance right now, God. Because without you, I feel so undone. I feel so broken. I feel the pressures of life. I don't know how much longer I can take this. But God, I'm asking you to wrap your arms of mercy and love around them right now. Respond to them. Ask you to let go of that neighbor's hand. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. Everybody's doing it. Come on, can we just praise God right now in the name of Jesus? I'm asking you, God, right now to take me, God. Purify me. Love me because I still love you, God. More than anything else in this world, God, I stand here to tell you one more time, God, I love you. You've been good to me, God, even though I wasn't the best. I didn't get it right, but here today, God, I'm asking you to purify my mind, my spirit, my thoughts, and my life. In Jesus' name.